Keeping Texas Great. Here's Robert Pratt of Pratt on Texas.
We are proud to welcome to Pratt on Texas John Francis. He is in the Republican runoff for House District 60. Many of you in KYYW land live in that. Some of you listening on 1290 out of Wichita Falls live in that district. Mostly KYYW listeners, though. John Francis made it in this runoff. This is the seat that Mike Lang has held, and then he chose to run for county commissioner in his home county. Lang had been one of our solid conservatives in the Texas House. He's gone to hold that seat for conservatives. We absolutely need John Francis to win. He is a real conservative from everything I know about him. And I told you, the other guy in the runoff, ladies and gentlemen, remember, he filed to run before he had any idea that Mike Lang was not running for re-election. And I read his press release to you on the air, and I told you, look, I've been at this my whole life. I've been at this far more than most of these people running or serving in the legislature. And the code words were all over it. And I told you that day, this guy sounds like a recruit of the local tax and spend, anti-property tax reform, anti-lobby reform, anti-anything that benefits taxpayer crowd. It read like that. It was clearly the case. But then, boy, he has doubled down. He was asked by a reporter of the Mineral Wells Index if he would join John Francis in protecting taxpayers from tax increases and the imposition of new taxes, fines, and fees in the next legislative session. And this guy, Glenn Rogers, quote, declined to comment. Now, did I ever peg it right on that one way back there? John Francis, welcome to Pratt on Texas. Tell everybody how the campaign is going. Tell them a little bit about yourself. And particularly, let's talk about what truly separates you guys. That's one of the biggest things, but there's really a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, Pratt, thank you for having me on, first of all. It's a real pleasure. You know, I've never run for office before. I'm a businessman, live in Cisco. You know, I married a gal from Cisco 27 years ago. And, you know, this is our home. It's where we raised our kids. And I've only got one at home now. We have four kids. And they've all flown the coop except for
congratulations.
Boy. Yeah, thank you. And, in fact, one of my youngest daughter just graduated from Cisco High School. Real proud of her. But, you know, you're correct. I got into this race only after Mike Lang decided to get out. And I would have never run against Mike. Mike's a great guy. He's a conservative. And, you know, he was rated, I don't know, fourth or fifth most conservative in the state. And I'm
he
super
was chairman
proud
of the he was chairman of the Freedom Caucus as well this last
right.
session, which are the real yeah. conservatives.
Yeah, that's right. And so anyway, but when I found out that he was not going to run for re-election, that was when I decided to get in. I never would have gotten in otherwise. And the reason I did is that I want to make sure that we actually have somebody that's actually willing to go and fight for our values and maintain, you know, what Mike started in this district. You know, this district, District 60, is one of the most conservative in the entire state. I'm super proud of that. And in fact, that's part of the reason Jody and I love living here. And I just want to make sure that we have somebody that's actually willing to fight for the values, you know, more than ever with everything that's going on. It's, you know, it's apparent and obvious that we need somebody that, I mean, I tell people I'm a man of faith first, I'm a conservative second, and a Republican third, and it's in that precise order.
Let me ask you a question about the frustration of this, because Mike Lang was a real accomplishment for voters in House District 60. The power of incumbency is such that the local press generally speaking around the state becomes nothing but a mouthpiece for the incumbent, and also generally are extraordinarily ignorant about what actually is going on in Austin and the things that matter. And for years, this district had a man who had a brother who was a great conservative in the legislature at one time, but he himself was a big liberal. And, you know, all through those years, people didn't want to listen to me. And then, of course, it all fell apart, and he knew he was going to get beat. He didn't run. And what is the first thing he did? He became a board member of the most far left think tank, so-called think tank. They actually call themselves advocacy group in the state of
yeah.
Texas. And I wonder how many people around the district in this campaign, particularly those local chamber people, civic cheerleaders, local community leaders, Have you noticed that did any of them really wake up to that and realize they had been fooled for a long time? Because I think a lot of folks were very pleased with Mike Lang, who came in after. And you yeah. hope to continue that conservatism. I really just, out of personal interest, want to ask you about that, because people argue, oh, no, he's not. The guy before Mike Lang, I don't even need to say his name, but he's not a liberal. He was one of the – he joined the board of directors of the left's big advocacy center in Texas as soon as he got out.
Yeah, he's a lobbyist now. He's a lobbyist, making a lot of money in Austin. And, you know, here's the reality. A lot of these guys, they are only conservatives, quote unquote, when they're in the district. Right. When they come back to the district, Amen. they try to tell everybody how conservative they are, and oh yeah, I'm pro-life, and oh yeah, I'm pro-Second Amendment. But the truth is that they're not. And so I was so pleased whenever Mike decided to run, and we were able to get him in office. And could not have been happier.
Well, John Francis,
because he's an actual conservative.
Right. Well, John Francis, you're the conservative now. And when your opponent filed, he filed to unseat Mike Lang, a taxpayer champion. And I read his press release on the air, and I'm not kidding. It was full of every phraseology that comes out of the professional campaign guys that specialize in this exact fooling you. You know, I sound sort of conservative, and I say I'm conservative, but I'm really not, because there should be no limits on what people can do to your property, to your money, whatever. Talk about the difference between you and this other guy, Rogers.
Yeah, so let me just say this. You know, I was so happy that at the beginning of the campaign, we weren't in lockdown mode yet, because we had the opportunity to go on the record. And we had multiple repeated public forums in which I was on stage, Glenn was on stage, and frankly, we had two other candidates now that have now, by the way, have
endorsed John Francis. That's right. The others endorsed John Francis.
But I was so pleased that during these, I mean, I honestly want people to know exactly what I stand for. I want them to know that I'm a conservative. I'm a real conservative. And I genuinely want people to know exactly what Glenn stands for as well, because I think voters are smart. I think they're looking for, you know, conservative people, which is why, you know, Glenn has got conservative plastered all over his, you know, his yard signs, and you'll have to make up your own mind whether he actually is. But here's what happened. So we got into these forums, and he literally, out of his own mouth, you know, he's uncomfortable about it now, because he was recorded from three different camera angles. You know, we've got people in the audience that had their iPhones, and you know, and they're recording. Right. And he literally made comments like that. You know, he says, this is what he said. This is a quote, and you can go look it up. It's on YouTube. It's on Facebook. And what he said was, he said, I'm for constitutional carry. I just think there needs to be required training. And he made that point repeatedly in different
Which
forms.
Is the opposite of constitutional carry, by the way. It means he's not That's for it.
Yeah, so it was a mic drop moment. I mean, I was on stage, and, you know, I got to spend a lot of time with Glenn. And anyway, I was kind of surprised, because, you know, it is a Republican priority.
Well, his
Republican Party
of
Texas priority.
His positions, though, on taxpayer reform, on tax reform, property tax reform, and things like that are awfully weak as well, aren't they?
Well, another thing that he said on stage, that, and he did it repeatedly. In fact, this time, you know, it had to do with taxpayer-funded lobbying, which, again, repeatedly, the, you know, Republican Party of Texas, the voters, the, you know, the people that are putting together, the, you know, the activists in the Republican Party have made it abundantly clear what they're interested in and what the priorities of the Republican Party of Texas should be. And frankly, I'm for those priorities. I've actually read the Republican Party of Texas platform and support it and will support it. And Glenn has decided to not come out with that. In fact, what he said was, I am against, this is Glenn Rogers' words. He said, I am against the ban, according to Glenn, on taxpayer-funded lobbying. And then he said, you heard that right. I'm against the ban.
Even made it in the press coverage, and we covered it at the time. I mean, I pegged this guy right from the beginning. We're visiting with John Francis, runoff candidate for House District 60. Visiting with John Francis, Mr. Francis, in House District 60 in the Republican runoff, is not only the conservative and only conservative in the race, frankly, he's the only real or authentic Republican in the race, based on the things that have been said. You know, John, you pointed out that your opponent made a really big issue and was emphatic and publicly about opposing taxpayer-funded lobby reform. Now, people need to remember that's where local governments tax you, raise your property taxes, take your money, launder it through organizations that then have been the single biggest. They have the biggest lobby departments, the most lobbyists working in Austin, and they spend the most money lobbying in Austin, and they lobby against the interest of taxpayers. Using your money, you're paying for people to lobby against property tax reform, appraisal reform, all of these things. And your opponent does not want reform in that. He wants that process to continue. So pick it up there.
So, you know, it's really, if you want to know why property taxes and all of our other taxes seem to keep going up, the answer, why, is taxpayer-funded lobbying. And it's just a despicable practice that, you know, the politicians and the lobbyists love because they're on the government teat. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Yeah. And it's disgusting.
You know, John, one of the things that amazes me about this is that in every industry in the world, productivity, all economics is measured by productivity. All good, real measurements are about productivity. Productivity means that you're constantly, in other words, as the world grows, we become wealthier, things get better. That means we produce more goods and services with less inputs, money, that's materials, right. You name it. Government seems to be the only thing out there. When you ask them about why are you raising taxes, they always say it grows. But in every single industry, the more people you have paying in, remember, everybody's paying in at the same percentage when it grows. Government has more money, but government gets net per capita more expensive per person. It should be the other way around. The bigger your community, the less expensive per capita it should be to maintain basic services. But they don't ever want to talk about that, John.
Well, part of the problem is that these lobbyists get to Austin and they wine and dine lawmakers and they're greasing the wheels to get money. And it's just disgusting and it needs to end. And I'm absolutely for ending that practice. And my opponent, unfortunately, is not. Hey, can I mention something that is
going on?
Sure,
do it. You got about 3 minutes. Go.
Yeah. You asked me earlier about how the campaign is going. I want to tell you, we're getting to the point in this campaign where it's about to get ugly. And what I mean by that is my opponent is, you know, he put an ad up recently that it's like a 30-second spot trying to tell people that he's trying to say that I'm not supporting President Trump. And it's just so unbelievably bad. So I've been telling people that, you know, I told my kids when they were growing up that if you're telling a half truth, you're actually telling a full lie. And I wish Glenn had learned that as a boy, because he's trying to say I'm a never Trumper, but the truth is that I voted for Donald Trump proudly in 2016. I voted for him again here a few months ago, and I'm going to be voting for him again in November and doing everything I can to get this good man reelected, because he's been the best conservative president we've ever had. It's unbelievable to me.
At least
and I'm
when
so
it
proud
comes to moving the agenda, that's certainly true. Well, what's he basing this never Trump stuff on? Because I've never heard that about you or the family you're related to or anybody.
So the basis of it, and it's so ridiculous, you can decide. So he's trying to say that because I supported Senator Ted Cruz when he ran for president.
Well, so did that I, that somehow over makes Trump.
Right. So that's the basis of it, and it's just ridiculous. And I think people see right through it. But anyway, it's getting to the point where it's getting pretty ugly. But you know, again, I'm an open book. I've literally put my phone number, my personal cell number. It's the same one that Jody and the kids use when they call me. I've only got one phone number. And by the way, I'd love to give it out if it's okay.
Sure. And by the way, the website is VoteJohn, J-O-N, Francis, FRIANCIS.com, VoteJohnFrancis.com. Give the number out, John.
Yeah, this is my personal cell, and I want everyone to have it. And it's 254-334-8917. And the reason I do that, the reason I've given it out to everybody, and that I want people to have it, is because I'm accessible. I want people to know that they can call and ask any question that they want, and I encourage that. But the main reason I did is that I'm the one that writes my campaign literature, and I stand behind it, and I want people to know that I am exactly what I say I am, and what you see is what you get, and I'm expecting people to hold me accountable. And so I'm happy to give out my personal cell number. Because
and it's on his website, too, as well as his email address, I'm telling you, at VoteJohnFrancis.com, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, you know, it's literally on every single piece of mail, you know, mail that I've sent out. My cell number is on there, and it's for a reason. So I'm very proud of that. But, you know, anyway, the bottom line is that it's going well, you know.
Good.
And I think people can see right through my opponent. But I'm a man of faith. I'm a conservative. I'm a Republican. And, you know, I'm proud of it.
It's the talk of Texas. Proud on Texas.